Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The Kenyan composer and sound artist Nyokabi Kariuki divides her time between that East African country and the United States. Her music somehow draws on experimental electronics, contemporary classical music, pop, and sound art, without ever quite settling into any one of them. Her new LP is called Feeling Body, and it sort of tells the story of Kariuki's experience living with long COVID, although not in a conventional narrative way. Here is Nyokabi Kariuki to play for us a track called Folds, live in our studio. That's called Folds, a live performance by Nyokabe Karaoke here in our studio. You'll find that on her debut LP, which is called Feeling Body. Nyokabe, great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I really liked your debut EP last year, Peace Places, subtitled Kenyan Memories, which had a lot of the same elements that are on the LP, you know, these kind of wisps and swirls of sound and spoken word, whispered, sung word. But the singing is much more front and center, it seems, on the new record.
Yeah, I think with Peace Places, Kenyan Memories, it was centered around the field recording and sort of finding the music within these sounds and you know, the places that were, you know, special to these tracks. But for Feeling Body, I think maybe in retrospect, I'm realizing that my voice, because it is from my body, you know, we hear a lot that the body is an instrument. And so it maybe felt like the right vessel to talk about what the experience of having long COVID was, which is what Feeling Body is about.
So when did you have long COVID?
So I got COVID in April of 2021. Okay. So the pandemic had just happened for a year, and this was like the Delta variant time.
Yes.
And so that's when I got COVID, and I had, you know, symptoms kind of extending 9 months, 9-10 months, and after that. And then this was while I was in the United States, and then I went home to Kenya for winter break, December, January, and that's around the time I recovered.
So it would have been around the time that the EP, the Peace Places, was coming together.
I wrote it while I was sick, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Peace Places almost then, in retrospect, presents as a kind of refuge, a place where you could get it.
Yeah, interesting. It's also something that I've been reflecting on, just like how much work I was doing during, you know, while going through a lot of a lot of it. It's interesting that it's only something I notice in retrospect, but...
Well, maybe that has to do with the kind of interesting dichotomy in your work between abstract and narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a story in both the EP and the LP, and yet it's not like told in conventional song form with lyrics that take you from point A to point B and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. In a way, maybe the way that I see story is varied like that. I have always been a creative person. My minor was in creative writing, for instance, and I love to
What was
paint.
Your major?
Oh, music composition.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's a way that when I'm creating work, that I'm seeing a story in different forms. It's not necessarily a linear thing, but sometimes it's an image, and like everything that I'm writing in the story is focusing on this image and trying to convey that image. Or sometimes it could even be a font. Like sometimes when I'm typing out a story, I can't type it in any other font than a very specific one. And so I think maybe that's how my music also plays out, just this reflection of color and you know, the words and the tangibility of all of these is being part of a story.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept that there's a novel by John Darnielle, who is the singer-songwriter behind The Mountain Goats, and he's published several very well-received novels, the last of which is called Devil's House.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a change of font in one chapter for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the font might affect the writing is kind of analogous to the idea that the instrumentation might affect the composition process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. I feel like perhaps, I know some people call it synesthesia, but I think for me, I'm not sure if that's the appropriate term for this, or maybe it is, but it's sort of the opposite, where I see a specific color or a font or whatever, and there's a sound that should be, or I think for most people it's the opposite, where they hear a sound and
I think that's the most common kind of synesthesia is like people who say, oh, C major, that's red.
Yeah.
but of course, another person will say, no, it isn't. It's blue.
It's blue. yeah.
So how fixed are these pieces? How fixed are the arrangements? I mean, once you've written them, can they be, are they malleable? Can they be changed?
Yeah. This is something I've been thinking a lot. Like, because I started getting requests to perform this music, I hadn't thought, like, with my record last year, Peace Places, I had not thought about how to perform it live. And so initially I was actually saying, no, I can't do that. and then I got an offer to perform it at the Houdiemus Festival in Utrecht.
In Holland, yeah.
And I said, okay, I need a string ensemble. And that became a really interesting process. And Matt was a part of that too, just trying to figure out how
Matt Evans, who will be joining you momentarily on the drums. Yeah,
exactly. So I think a lot of these pieces are starting to see different forms in a solo way or with an ensemble or with, you know, a drummer.
Right.
And me, yeah.
All right, well, let's put Matt to work in this next
piece.
Now, this is from the EP. This is from last year's record, Peace Places, Kenyan Memories. And it's called Galu, and so this is a place, right?
Yes. So Galu is a beach. I love the ocean. I love to swim. And so it's sort of about how early mornings are okay for me when I'm by the beach. Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
There's a theme there I want to pick up on after when we continue talking in a few minutes. But right now, let's hear this live performance. Nyokabi Karaoke and a piece called Galu with Matt Evans on loan from the band Teague and his various other projects, sitting in on the drums. Thank you. Once again, live music from Nyokabi Karaoke. Voice, kalimba, the thumb piano, computer, electronics, and Matt Evans joining her behind our drum kit. The song is called Galu. And actually, having said that, it's not really a song, Nyokabi, is it? It's I mean, despite Matt hitting a groove at one point midway through the piece, it's more like a sonic postcard, it seems.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. That's a really nice way of putting it. Yeah.
So is that the function of field recordings? Is that why the EP called Peace Places relied so heavily on found sounds?
So Galu was the first piece, actually, that I wrote for the record. And initially, it was going to be a concert work. Uh-huh. And I just had this image of the beach. So maybe that's a really good kind of way of seeing it as a sonic postcard, because that's pretty much what I had in my mind. And my final semester of school was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so the Department of Composition had mentioned, you can just hand in the scores of what you were writing initially. And I didn't like this idea because I wanted something tangible out of my time in school. And I had this sort of idea of taking recordings of sounds around me every single day and making a sound world with whatever these were. And I think it was a sound journal, that's what I called it, because it was a way to kind of create consistently while maintaining a way to take care of my emotional space at that time. You know, it was such a weird time for everyone. Everything was so unknown, and I had to deliver something. And so I think in this way, it was like a very slow, incremental way of just making, you know, music with what I had around me. And it became a really cool project because I actually started having friends and family in lockdown in different places, like send in their own field recordings at the same exact time. And it became like a 40-minute sound art film, essentially.
Wow.
And I think from then on, I just became really interested in kind of the music of everyday life. I think that's how Peace Places became a part of that. How can I sort of connect to my heritage? And sound is just such a big way of doing that, yeah.
So many interesting things that this brings up. Like, we use words like abstract for this sort of sound art, sound design, when in fact it's the most concrete thing, because the actual sounds around us.
Right, exactly.
Are you a fan of ASMR?
So this is such a funny question, because I didn't know ASMR was a thing until after my EP came out, maybe. And people were like, oh, this is what it sounds like. And I had not seen it that way.
Yeah. For the record, I am definitely not a fan of ASMR. But I can see why you would get that question.
Yeah. I just love, I mean, it doesn't feel ticklish to me particularly, but I think at some point it started to become a reference of like just these subtle sounds.
Right, right.
I love that we can experience this full dynamic range, and I think that's something from the classical that we're so used to. Sort of why it's also sometimes annoying to listen to classical music in the car or something, because the volume levels are just so extreme.
Right.
But I think that's something that we don't find so much in recorded music.
No, all pop music is all squelched into the middle of the sonic spectrum there.
Exactly. But it's just so fun to play with just that full range.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even the end of Galou is like just below the threshold of audibility. And the opening couple of minutes of Feeling Body, the title track of the new LP, where you're whispering, we don't really get what you're saying. You know, if it's not ASMR, it might, for people who are fans
right.
of that, sort of trigger that same kind of meridian
I'm
response.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come home to the body. Come home to the body. Come home to the body.
Water has been a consistent feature of your work.
Yeah.
Sonically, and also, you know, it appears in the lyrics, sinking and swimming.
Right.
I mean, the song you're going to do next, Nazama, means to sink in Swahili, right?
Yeah.
So that idea of water as a current, no pun intended, but I can't figure out another way to say it. So, you know, how intuitive / conscious is that for you?
Yeah, it's interesting to look back on, because I was a swimmer growing up, actually, and I really didn't like it. The pool was super cold and all the stuff. But I think through the process of just swimming for a large part of my childhood, I developed solace in water because it was a time I could just kind of shut off my brain and just kind of feel that, you know, the feeling of the water around my body, the sound when your head is underwater, when you're completely submerged. So I think there's a way that these like formative ears had this relationship with water, and it showed up in Peace Places unintentionally maybe, and then in Feeling Body it was a very conscious decision, because when I was sick, I would take these long baths, and it was kind of, you know, it's someone told me that Feeling Body sounds like they're in a bathroom, which was funny at first glance, but also just thinking, like talking about that deeply, it's where so many of us have our most vulnerable moments.
Yeah.
And I think that's what water was in this record. Just kind of sharing that experience and this feeling that I think so many people, you know, understand. And then, you know, just kind of through the process of writing the record, there's all this imagery I kept kind of seeing where my ethnic group is the Kikuyu. And I found out that some homeopathic treatments for people with mental illness, men were made to go look at Mount Kenya, at the face of Mount Kenya. And women were told to put their feet in a river. And so this was just very interesting to me, the idea of water as therapy. I think it was very much my experience.
And Nazama, which means to sink, is the last track on the record. So in the arc of the story, this is the conclusion. And knowing what the title means, it seems like it would be a very dark conclusion, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah. For me, it's this idea that you just have to kind of let go, and you just have to let the current take you, because you know, I guess at some point you will figure it out and you will find the ground. And Nazama, this is the track with a field recording of like complete submission underwater, because in the previous tracks, you know, there's like droplets, mm-hmm. there's, you know, the sound of a river when you're looking at it. But Nazama was really from underwater.
Did you use like a hydrophone to get a...
I got it off the internet.
Ah, okay. Fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also a tool.
Yeah.
In the modern composer's arsenal. Shall we hear the piece?
Yeah, of course.
This is Nyokabi Karaoke and another track from her new LP called Feeling Body, but this is a live performance of Nazama. Nazama, the name of that piece from Nyokabi Karaoke. You'll find a version of that on her record, her debut LP called Feeling Body. And we started our conversation, Nyokabi, talking about how front and center the voice is on the LP. So who were your kind of vocal touchstones? I mean, who do you hear in your mind's ear when you open your mouth to sing?
Ah, okay, I have a list. but even my relationship with singing is interesting because I didn't start singing until I was in university. So this is something that I kind of had my own personal journey with. I never used to sing my songs. I used to write it out and hand it to musicians. And I had a songwriting teacher. We did not see eye to eye most of the time because I think my songs were just very out there. And she was like, no, pop music, you know, the structure. But she was like, you know, your songs, your voice is really weird. It's not the best, but you should sing your own songs. And I was like, okay. This was the most encouraging thing she said, actually. And I think it gave me a confidence to kind of test that out because I realized that I was writing my songs around my voice, and it has this very low register and a very high register. And yeah, there's all these unique things about it that I think make my songs unique, and which is why giving it to other musicians, the song would feel so different. Mm-hmm. Nina Simone was big for me. I think a lot of musicians with like very alto voices I saw myself in. And then people like London Grammar. Hannah Reid's voice is insane. And just hearing this like operatic sound in kind of more pop ballad music, I think that's a big influence. Wise Blood, that's also someone else. Mm-hmm.
London Grammar they've been here some years ago now.
Wow.
So
there was a time when I was in uni, they were playing in New York and I was underage, so I couldn't go. I was so sad.
Niokabi Karaoke is my guest. The album is called Feeling Body. It's been great getting a chance to have you perform here in the studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this. Thank you, Matt, as well.
Matt Evans behind the drum kit. And behind the glass in the control room, our technical director, Irene Trudell. Producer Karen Havlik has the day off. Max Fine produced this session. Eric Weber is our videographer. I'm John Schaefer. Find all of our New Sounds videos on the New Sounds YouTube channel or right here on the website at newsounds.org.